Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I am your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. To remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Also, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Please send all questions, show ideas, if you would like to be a guest, to insightintohealing@gmail.com. And check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html. For an autographed copy, send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, tonight I have such an exciting show planned. On the line, I have James Donnelly Jr. He's a Boston actor now living in Los Angeles. He started his journey on a Friday after reading the Boston Herald at his job with a casting call for the movie The Town. The following day, he had one for The Fighter. He eventually had 5 auditions for the movie The Town and 2 with Ben Affleck, but never was cast. He got his first role in a short, The Harvest, and then right after his first lead role in the feature, Back to Beyond. Directors like him and his work ethic, as he's very professional. He has done 3 films for Camp 9 in Boston and 3 German films from Van Warner Productions. He has written and directed commercials while appearing in theater, TV, films, and commercials. He lived in Los Angeles in 2010 and was on national TV within 1 month. Having to leave and then come back in 2016 to be back on national TV within 2 weeks. James is a dedicated professional actor. His last project was playing lead detective in the JonBenet Ramsey murder case. Other than these great, great achievements of James Donnelly, he's also a very close and dear friend to me. James, welcome to Insight into Healing.
This is awesome, Alexis. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you. How are we doing?
Doing very well. I'm so excited. I finally could get you on the show. And it's been just so incredible, you know, following your career and following your journey. How was it getting started in all of this?
You know, as you read off there, it's something that just fell in my lap. It was a Friday afternoon at the car dealership, and I saw the open call in the Boston Herald, and, you know, I've been chasing it since. I was going through a divorce, and my ex-wife had said to me that, you know, you'll never be an actor, you'll never make it to Hollywood, and you know, my tush has been on fire since, and we've done some greater things that you've just read a few things on, and it's been quite a journey. A lot of work, a lot of peaks and valleys, but it's awesome. I love what I do. I'm very, very privileged.
Yes. And, you know, your story is one of such a tough journey, struggle, heartbreak, and really shows your resilience. And I would just also like to send my condolences. I know you recently lost a very dear family member, your dog, Mandy, recently, and I can just imagine how hurtful and heartbroken that must be.
Yeah, and I'm out here in California. I've lost both my parents within a couple of years, and that's what, you know, held me into Boston along with some personal matters. But, you know, Mandy was like my baby, and, you know, I have no kids. You know, I was married, as I had said, and thank God we didn't have kids because it just went south, but that's neither here nor there. My Mandy, you know, she was my boxes, my dogs, those are my kids, and I cherish them. You know, I know you get Samson, and, you know, our dogs are our kids, and, you know, people that don't have animals just, they have no idea with them, you know, they're missing them life. I mean, I cherish every single day I have my dogs.
Yes. They're gifts from God, definitely.
Yeah.
So So how do you hold your head up? How do you go through all of this, through all the pain and the loss in your life? Really speaks volumes of yourself and your resilience and strength.
Well, you know, you had mentioned the key word God, and, you know, that word scares some people, and it doesn't scare me, you know, for many years that, you know, the God that I thought was myself, and unfortunately that wasn't true. You know, I do trust and rely on God today. I'm very, very blessed to know that he's got my back, that, you know, I've had some lot of heartache, and, you know, for instance, Mandy, I mean, I could easily, you know, wallow my self-pity, but, you know, I thank God for the beautiful memories that we've had, and, you know, with my folks, and, you know, I try to keep busy so I'm not in my head. It just, you know, I could sit here and run through all the memories and, you know, get down and be angry and bitter, and, you know, that's not healthy. You know, I just look at the past, and, you know, like I said, I cherish, you know, the time that I've had with, you know, whether it's my parents, the dogs I've had through the years, and, you know, I don't take life for granted today. You know, I cherish every moment, and, you know, I'm truly blessed to be able to wake up and suck air today. You know, unfortunately, some people aren't. You know, the people in Las Vegas, unfortunately, they went to a concert. They didn't know that they were not going to be sucking air. You know, they thought they'd be having a nice concert. So I don't take life for granted anymore today.
Yes. And I think that's such an important motto to have, a mantra to have, is to be able to really be grateful and show gratitude and work towards your dreams and goals. And, you know, you are so passionate with acting. It's just shown through all your journeys and your how you just give so much to it and your sacrifice. And it's just so incredible.
Yeah, it's all I, you know, besides, you know, my dogs, it's all I do. I focus on what next can I do to advance my career. You know, I've got a good team behind me. I've got, you know, Bohemia Group, which is, they're actually world known. I've got a West Coast office as well as my New York office here. And I'm very blessed to have them behind me, that they've given, you know, the respect and trying to think of the right word, but they actually have the faith, and they know that, you know, that they've got a guy here that's going to give it all and do the right thing by going to school, doing the next right thing, you know, by helping others, and, you know, whatever they ask, I'm going to do just to, you know, to get ahead, just for my, you know, my career is at 46 years old. This is all I think of. I always think of what next, and, you know, that's my purpose right now in life, and,
yes.
You know, like I said, I'm truly blessed.
How do you prepare for a role? What type of, do you have certain exercises, certain things that you do for each role? Is it different? How would you prepare?
Okay, I mean, you know what, that's a very good question. And I actually go to my behavior school over here in Los Angeles. But let's just say, for instance, if I have a scene that, you know, that they give just off the cuff, you know, what we do to prepare for that scene, I'll give an example. Let's just say if I'm writing a letter to, I'll throw this one out. You know, I'm a police officer, which I get cast as a lot. And let's just say the scene, you know, there's a shootout, what have you. It's all about the environment. You know, what environment am I in? It's about creating a life. You know, I don't use substitution or bring things from my past. I actually create a whole new character. I create the whole scene in my mind itself, and my emotions, my reactions, everything from there is going to just, if I do the work and really dissect the scene as far as and really create the life of that scene, I'm going to make something magical happen, and it's usually worked. It's not failed me yet. So that's the technique that I do. I might, as far as my environment, I might portray, you know, sitting in my car, sitting and just really reenacting things to really get, you know, the back story. You know, if I need to portray that I'm an alcoholic, I'm going to vision myself in a bar and, you know, really bring up of myself being a drunk or a dysfunctional home and really create some depth to that character. Because there's so many layers to a character that you have to bring. You know, a lot of people think, okay, well, I'm just going to read the lines. Well, that's not how you actually prepare for a role. Or, you know, the character, if you will. There's so many layers that you've got to bring. You could go all the way back to your childhood. You know, maybe, you know, when I was a five-year-old boy, did I want to become a cop? You know, did I always dream about becoming a cop? And, you know, did I watch TV shows? Well, what kind of TV shows did I like that, you know, portrayed a cop? There's so many different levels that you can really dig into and create a good character. So that's what I do.
What has been your toughest role to prepare for and to also to become?
Huh. There was actually this movie. It was Michael Archangel with Rob Alton. It was a zombie-based movie, and I had a family. And there was a scene where I had to speak to my son, and I actually got shot, and I had some war wounds in my neck. That basically there was some zombies outside that were going to get me. And it was my last conversation with him where I'm basically saying him goodbye to him and to him to be strong and to move forward and just be courageous that, you know, we've taught him, you know, his mother and I since he was a kid. And, you know, it was real tough where I had to bring myself to an emotional level of really being there and really, you know, talking to my son who just was my everything. You know, he was my only boy, and, you know, it was a very emotional scene, and I was bawling. And the tears were real. The conversation was real. It was a real powerful piece, and really enjoyed that scene because it showed that I had depth as an actor and that I could bring myself to a place where, you know, some people can't. And, you know, I could play a gangster, a cop all day long, a father. You know, I can really get into the drama. I can also do comedy, and, you know, there's a lot of depth that I have that I can be cast as, which, you know, I work hard at. And it's just, you know, there's never a day that I don't, you know, try to, you know, dig into depth as far as different things of what I can do to get myself better as an actor. It's all I think of.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You know, that's a very good question. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in life. If you do the work, you're going to get the results. If you don't do the work, well, how are you going to get the results? And I know that I'm doing the work. My goal would be I'd like to have a TV series regular role where, you know, something like Blue Bloods or just that type of character. I just love working as far as a law enforcement, FBI agent, what have you. Something like that would be ideal. And, you know, I'm just not going to stop until I get to the level that I want. It's very simple, like I said. If you do the work, you're going to get the results. So there's a lot of people out in Hollywood that don't do the work and they just want to think they're going to get noticed. Well, there's no such thing as getting noticed. Everything that, you know, that I'm pushing for, either my team's getting for me or, you know, I'm digging up on my own. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. I truly love what I do. I am so blessed.
Yes. I think you brought up a really good point. Acting, being in this industry, is a lot of work. But it's our job as the actor, as the actress, to make it look easier. And I think people don't realize all the work that really goes behind auditioning, getting the role, rehearsing, being filmed, stage, TV. I mean, there's so many different dynamics that you really have to have the education, the training, and really the passion to keep going over this. It's not something sometimes there's been those overnight wonders that make it, but usually it's pounding the pavement. It's, you know, going on auditions, sometimes waiting a long time, getting excited about a role, getting close to between you and another person, and at the last minute saying, yeah, we want another direction. That's the business.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm laughing at the same time listening to you. I can't tell you how many auditions that I felt great. It's been a lot. There's no way I'm not going to get a call on this, what have you. And this is when I was first starting out, and I'd be waiting by the phone, drive myself nuts, and the phone would never ring. And I'm like, geez, I was sworn I was going to get that. And then roles that I've gone in an audition that I thought I totally bombed, and then the phone would ring, which it never made sense to me. And I got to the point where, you know what, after an audition, I'm going to take 5 minutes, I'm going to evaluate what I did, what was good, what was bad, what could I have done different, and then I put it to rest, and I walk away and I move on to the next one. There's been times where I've been a phone call a couple months later and said, hey, Jim, this is so-and-so. You had actually auditioned for, and, you know, I'm saying, I totally forgot about that. And you know what? That way there, I don't drive myself crazy. You know, there's a ton of opportunity. It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. You know, you brought up God earlier. I full trust on God where, you know, God's not going to make this happen. I know God has a plan for me. You know, I just know if I do the next right thing and just keep moving forward, then the chips are going to fall. So then that's how I live my life.
Yeah. And my acting coach always says, once you leave the audition, you let it go and you go on to the next. Don't dwell, because you never know. Don't take it so personal. Don't always make it about you. You never know. Let it go and don't bring it with you anywhere else.
Right. And you know what? That's 100% right. Because I mean, I did that in the beginning and it was driving me nuts. And now I did the best I could, or I could have done better, and we move on to the next one. It's always on to the next one. Take up the next opportunity and prepare, create the life, and just really dig into what you need to do. So that's obviously what you're doing, and that's the best advice for anyone that's listening. It's worked fine for me. I don't drive myself crazy anymore.
Yes. And I think also another great point is, you might not be, even though you thought you were right for this role, and it looks like it, maybe they ended up going in a different direction. I've had some films, and also recently two plays, where I auditioned for roles literally like 3-4 years ago, and they're calling me now saying, hey, we'd like you for the lead for this role, for something I auditioned for a different project many, many, many years ago, and that wasn't even technically their project. They were there, you know, part of the casting, and now they've moved on to a different company and said, hey, we'd like you for this great, we think you'd be great for this role. So I think it's just perseverance and saying, you never know, just show up.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, there's such a thing as far as being found in Hollywood. There's most of it, you know, the man behind the curtain, you know, well, that's pulling the puppets, if you will. Each person that's writing a script, a person that's a director, a producer, everyone under that umbrella, that's who Hollywood is. People don't realize that. You and I, Alexa, could write a script. We hire a casting department. That becomes who Hollywood is. So you never know what the producer or the director has in mind for, you know, say, John Smith, lead detective, and, you know, they might have something in mind that, hey, listen, you know what, that guy, Jim Donnelly, you know, I saw him read for this role, and, you know, I absolutely love him, even though we were thinking of going this way, but, you know, I really love this guy right here. You just never know what they're thinking or which direction they're going to go. So, like you had said, perseverance, just nonstop working hard, doing the next right thing, digging the opportunities, and chasing everything you can with 110% effort.
Yes. And I know also from knowing you so well as a dear friend, you really have other things to keep yourself busy. You're into boxing. You're into working out. You so have other passions. I think you have to be well-rounded in this business, and you have to keep yourself active physically, mentally, to really just keep on cue.
Right. You know, my last real fight was in 2002, and, you know, I boxed basically my whole life, and I'm back in the gym over here at Freddie Roach's gym, Wildcat Boxing, which I absolutely love my workouts. You know, it's been a little off just for the fact of my loss, but, I mean, I will get back there where it is good both mentally and physically and spiritually. I love going in there, having a great workout. I've trimmed down. I'm in great shape. You know, I'm at 40. I just turned 46. I'm up to sparring 8 to 10 rounds, full force. Although my body hates me, but I absolutely love it. It's something that I've had a passion for, which, you know, the boxing career, when growing up, I could never have a dog. And getting back to them, you know, my mother, when I was a little kid, she was like, well, Jimmy, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want Santa to bring for Christmas? And I was like, I want Santa to bring a dog. Could never, ever, ever have a dog. So needless to say, when I first moved out, you know, I was doing outside sales. That's why rejection, the word no in this business, doesn't bother me. So I stopped at the Boston Public Library because I had my own apartment now, and I could get a dog. So I started off at A because I really didn't know what, you know, type of dog I wanted. And I started at A, and I stopped at B, B for boxer, because I don't have any real kids. But anyone says, well, you have any kids? I'm like, yeah, my kids take after me. And I show them the dogs and start laughing. I'm like, well, they're boxers, and daddy's a boxer. So it's just, so those are my kids, and I'll always have boxers. I just love the breed. So
that's incredible. And I think, you know, it's just so amazing. I have a dog too, Samson, and I think they bring
right.
So much love and light. and everything into life and just make life so much better.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You know, dogs aren't for everyone. I get that, you know, with lifestyles, et cetera. And I could not live without my dogs. You know, I just lost my Mandy, but, you know, within, you know, hopefully by Christmas I'll have another female. So that way there, Julian, who's a rescue, he's been amazing. You know, he can have another play buddy. And, you know, if I'm out, you know, on set or out in an audition, you know, he'll have someone to hang out with because I know that he's kind of, yeah, he's sad. But they're just like humans. And if someone doesn't, you know, has not experienced a dog, I don't know what to tell you. They're amazing. They're just like humans. Their emotions, their expressions, they talk to you. I love having my Julian, and I love having Mandy. You know, I will have two again at some point. But, you know, that's the cards right now that I have. The future's gonna.
So here's the big question. Is Julian going to be put into the acting business?
Julian, actually, I've actually submitted him to a couple different jobs and nothing yet. But, you know, as far as print or, if a character requires, you know, a male with, you know, large dog, sure. No, I'd submit him in a heartbeat. I mean, he's well-trained. He's a beautiful dog. He's got an orange eye. He's got a light blue eye, which... You know, he's very unique looking and he's just a well-maintained, he's got a good temperament and, you know, I'd, in a heartbeat I'd take him. You know, soon it's going to come that, you know, I can take him, you know, on my sets and put him in my trailer. So,
yeah.
You know, and then my little female when I get her eventually.
Uh-huh. One of my proud moments is Samson booked a role on The Americans. And he had a small role, a walk-on role on The Americans. He was treated like a star. I mean, I was able to, you know, walk him and do all those things.
Nice.
I can't tell you how proud I was. Everyone was trying to take selfies with him. He was the star of the show, and he did so well. He was so well-behaved and so intent, and when he has to go here and do that. And he's been submitted for some few things that I submit myself along with, and he books them and I don't. I said, oh, look at Samson. He's going to have to get his own agent.
Well, he is a good-looking boy, but, of course, you're gorgeous. You know that. So, no, that's
funny.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there was a role for a mean prison guard and their dog, and I didn't book the role because I guess I don't look like a mean prison guard, but Samson got the role.
Definitely don't.
The mean prison
dog.
You
definitely don't. Well, no, now we know why. You certainly don't look like a prison guard.
No.
That's something I was
getting
out of. You know, I got all my tattoos, and, you know, unfortunately, Father Time kicked in, and, you know, I had to shave my head so that way they didn't look like I was bald on film anyway, so that's all right. But,
you look great. I mean, I think you'd be great. Well, if I hear any roles of prison guards and dogs, you and Julian, I'm calling you up.
Me and Julian, of course. Thank you. So what's
You're
ahead
welcome.
For what's ahead for you? I know you got your book, which is exciting. That's good stuff.
Yes, I've been doing a lot of book signings and being able to speak in many different places that I'm booking. I just got two plays that I'm going to have a lead role in and some pretty big auditions coming up that I got called in for. So, I mean, it's so funny. Sometimes it's so quiet, and it's been wonderful because
sure.
I've been so busy with the book signings and the book tour and the radio show, and then it happens like, boom, in the matter of 4 days, I have two auditions and two bookings, and I'm like, oh, okay, now everything's getting like, it just goes boom, boom, boom. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, the world of Hollywood, it just, you never know, there's peaks and valleys, and you know, I actually bartend part-time for a couple extra bucks here and there. And, you know, it's funny, last year I did a scene with Jessica Lange in the TV show Feud. And so I'm on set with one of Hollywood's icons doing a scene, which was amazing. And then the next day I'm bartending a Snoop Dogg concert over the Greek Theater. So it's just, that's the life of Hollywood where you just don't know. And I say to myself, okay, well, I'm sitting here, I'm serving drinks and I'm inhaling weed from other people, which I don't do. I don't drink or do drugs. I'm sober, thank God. But I'm smelling all the stuff. I'm like, oh, God, what are you doing to me? Yesterday, I'm on set with one of Hollywood icons, and today, I'm bartending the Snoop Dogg concert. Come on, now. You never know out here. Crazy.
God keeps you on the on your toes. How do you feel being in the entertainment industry and having such a strong faith in God? How is that for you?
Well, you know what? I for years I was always Smooth World One Riot, and I did things my way. And I don't know how I came on. I'm not a big holy roller. You know, I do want to go to a Protestant church on Sundays, but I don't do that faithfully. And I was a confirmed Catholic. But needless to say, I just, you know, I have no problem touching base. You know, I'm 21 months sober from booze, cocaine, and benzos, which was my poison. And, you know, for years and years and years, I hated God because I kept on saying, God, just get me out of this, just get me out of this, get me out of this. And, you know, it just never worked. And, you know, how I got my faith, I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. But, you know what, I do have faith today. I do know there's someone greater than myself. I know that he's got my back. I've been through some torture in my life, and, you know, how I've been able to get the strength. I just, you know, trust and rely on God, and I ask God to give me the strength, the courage, and, you know, help me get through this. And, you know, and it works. Whether it's mental or not, you know, I'm not going to question it, and I'm not going to try to push my faith on anybody. It's worked for me. It's kept me sober. It's given me strength, and I just ride that, and I'm not going to question it, because if it's working, why am I going to question it? So I'm not going to fix it.
Yes, and I agree strongly. You know, I'm a very strong believer, too, in God and faith, and I think, you know, when people ask, how do you keep going? How do you do all this? It's God. That's what I give it to. And, yes, I still get disappointed and upset and my heart broken at times, but I think it's knowing and having the faith that God has a plan for you, and that's what really helps you through and helps me through to keep on this journey of life and where it's going to take me.
No, and I'll piggyback on that, absolutely. I think, you know, we all have, you know, choices where, you know, we can go down this road or that road. You know, for many, many years, I went down the wrong road. And today, I just try to keep life simple. I try to do the next right thing. I love helping the homeless. I'm big on helping the homeless. We have over 85,000 homeless people here out in L.A., and I just don't understand why we don't help them. We don't. But I'm big on helping the homeless. I give back as much as I can because I look at my life today, and I'm just so grateful for who I am, what I've become, from where I was and where I am today. And, you know, I truly believe that I'm on borrowed time for all the craziness I've done through my life. And, you know, I try not to waste a day. You know, I try to give back by saying thank you. You know, thank you for giving me another shot at life and another shot at a day of this thing called life that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And, you know, like I said, that's evident, you know, with what happened in Las Vegas. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. We got the now. And that's why I cherish the now. And I thank God every night before I go to bed for another shot at life.
Yes, amen. Well, we're at towards the end of the show. How can my listeners find you and follow you and get updates on what you're doing?
Well, on Twitter, at Actors Dodgers. I'm from Boston, and I'm a Dodgers fan. Or if you want to jump on Facebook, I'm always looking for new followers. My name is James. M as in Michael, Donnelly, Donnelly, and then JR. You'll probably find a picture of a dog as far as my profile, one of my boxes that just passed. But, yeah, I'd love to, you know, have some more following and, you know, bring some people on my wall. And, you know, I am very grateful for Facebook and the people that have supported me through my tough times. It's another thing that's helped me. And that's how I met you. And you and I are dear friends. So Facebook is a blessing. But then it can be a
yes, I'm telling you, it has been such a pleasure to have you on my show as my colleague, but also as my very dear, dear friend. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
It is my pleasure, and you know I love you. Thank you very much for your time.
Love you, too. Love you, too. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Insight into Healing. Please check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Everyone, have a good night. And God bless.